If you go to Romans 15:4, Paul says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. What is that? What was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. He didn't say that once. 1 Corinthians 9, 8 through 10. I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, notice we're quoting the Old Testament, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Why is that there? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing in the crops. There are things in the Old Testament that have spirituality to them, and they're written for us. He wasn't worried about an animal. He was showing, using an animal, something he was teaching them, that with that animal working, don't let it eat. Why? Because when you're working, you should also be a partaker of what you're working. Either get paid for it or paid with it, that you may have hope. That's written for our instruction. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 11. For I not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He's talking about the Exodus. Was not all Israel brought out? Was there one Israeli left behind? And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did they not all pass through the Reed Sea? And that's what that is. It's not Red Sea. It's a mistranslation. It's the Reed Sea. Did they not all go through the Reed Sea? Yes. Did the Egyptians try to go through the Reed Sea? Yep, and they didn't make it. And all ate the same spiritual food. Did they not all eat manna? And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed. Did you know that song was about Jesus Christ? How many times have you sung that song and you did not realize you were singing about your Savior? And here is what Paul is saying, that they all drank of that rock. When Moses struck that rock, they all drank. So God, all his people were there. He did miracle after miracle after miracle. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. Here we're quoting the Old Testament again. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they stood up to play. The point is, the Word of God was written for us to learn from. I read you three passages where that is true. That is why you, as an individual, need to read God's Word, because it's for you. It's for me. It's for the pastor. You cannot sit out there and think that the only time you're going to grow spiritually is when you come in here and sit in this pew. If that is your life, A, you better check your salvation. And B, if that is your life, you are a baby Christian. You grow because you read God's Word, and God speaks to you, and as you read His Word and life unfolds and He brings things into your life, He teaches you perseverance and patience and love and kindness. That's a you thing. That's not a that thing. There's a place for that. But we're talking about where the rubber meets the road right now. You have to read God's Word. It has to be a habit. It has to be looked at as a love letter. Do you look forward to reading God's Word every day? If you don't, something's wrong. You are not where you need to be spiritually. So the reason you need to read is because it's written for instruction. You'll grow from it. What does reading His Word do for us? Why do we need to read? We grow in Christ. In Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 15, Paul says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice he's talking about unity. There's no unity without God's Word. And the knowledge of the Son of God. Are you growing to know Him more? You can't know Jesus apart from His Word, and you can't know Him more deeper than apart from His Word. To a mature man, there it is. That's the generic sense. To a mature man and woman, to a mature Christian, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. This is Paul talking. He's talking to the Ephesian church, and he's just told them there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The church is Jew and Gentile in one body. The middle wall partition has been broken down, but you got to grow. You're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You need to know God's Word because then you can pick up when something's wrong about God's Word. Did you know that most of the people in Jehovah's Witnesses are former Baptists? Did you know that? You know why they're former Baptists? Because most Baptists, I'm saying most, not all, think that how they're going to grow is come right in here and sit in this pew and the pastor is going to help them grow. And they never spend time in God's Word in a systematic way. And so when somebody goes, hey, we're here, we're going to spread the good news about the kingdom. You know that Jesus is coming, right? Oh, yeah, come on. We're going to set you up with some Bible lessons. We want you to come. We're going to teach you all about it. And then they start talking, and they use all the terms, all the right terms. Of course, they've been redefined. Next thing you know, you're out there, hey, I'm here to speak for Jehovah. Yeah. Not to be tossed as children by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, by speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him. Who is the Him? Jesus. That's what reading God's Word does. It helps us to grow up in the faith. In Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You cannot walk worthy of the Lord until you're a mature Christian. Because as a baby, you'll mess up. Nobody wants to be a baby. You remember when you were just a little kid? There was always something you wanted to do, but you couldn't because you were too little. And then when you finally got of age, you were able to do it. Why do we want to stay baby Christians? Why is it we don't want to mature, become old in the Lord? A soldier. In Philippians 1:9. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge. Paul keeps talking about knowledge. Knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knowledge of the Scriptures. I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. You want to be able to know how to walk in this life? Sometimes I hear prayer requests. Now hear me what I'm saying and what you instead of what you think I'm saying. And I think, you know what? If you were just a little older in the faith, you might not have asked that. Sometimes we cry out to God because we don't understand God. And He's our kind of be-all and end-all. God has a plan for us, and some of that plan is we're going to suffer. As a matter of fact, Paul just says it, flat out says it several times. If you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. So just get used to it. That suffering doesn't have to be persecution. It can be sickness, illness. It can be mental illness. It can be work pressure. There are many ways of suffering that God uses in our life. So when we ask for prayer, let's ask for the things that will help us to grow. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Paul says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently..." That can't be 5:12. 3:12, sorry. "And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father." You're not going to increase in love apart from this, folks. You are not going to increase in love. Love for Christ, love for the brethren, love for the lost. If you don't have a heart for the lost, if you don't love the brethren, it may be because you're backslidden and you're not even in God's Word. It's one thing to have devotions of 5 minutes and read the daily bread. It's another thing to spend 20 minutes and actually read what God is saying. That is two different things. To grow in Jesus. But you know, there are some of us who grow and there are some of us who don't. I know that you've read this passage before, but let's go over it again. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, Hebrews is written to the church in Jerusalem. You remember what the church was like in the beginning in Acts? They all sold everything and everything was held in common and they met everybody's needs and how spiritual it was. Now, 30 years later, this letter comes along. And all of a sudden, there's something different about this church. And the author is basically talking to a bunch of believers who were on fire for the Lord, and now, you know, through the persecution. And in that day in Jerusalem, if you named Jesus as Messiah, you very well likely were kicked out of the synagogue and out of Jewish life. And you things were taken from you. And they had experienced that, and now they're getting older and older, and they're getting in their life, and they're starting to have second thoughts, like, was this worth it? And the author of Hebrews is saying, of course it's worth it. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than the priesthood. Jesus is better than Aaron, the high priesthood. He's better than the sacrifices. He offered a better sacrifice. The author is saying, there are better things that you're believing. But he had to say something to them, starting in verse 11. He just talked about Melchizedek. That Jesus is in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is not in the order of the Levites. He's after the order of Melchizedek. And the author says, "Concerning him, Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." And I see that in this church a lot of times. I sit here and I look, and I see that glaze. I know it. I've been there too. Sometimes it just gets monotonous, doesn't it? That glaze. You're not really hearing what's going on. And this is what he's talking about. "Since you've become dull of hearing. Though by this time you ought to be teachers..." He's talking to people who have been believers for over 30 years. "For this, by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness." Did you hear what he said? Everyone who partakes only of milk, just as a baby. You can't, you know, I remember five kids. I always sometimes wanted to just push the... I just couldn't wait for them to eat. Why? Because milk is a hassle. It's a hassle any way you look at it. You know, the wife, she's either going to breastfeed or she's going to save it and pump it, and you got to do this and that, and let's just feed them food, you know. I was always waiting for that time. That means they're getting older. They can handle the food. But there's a time in their life as a baby, all they can handle is the milk. And this is what he's telling them. All you can handle is the milk. You're not mature. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature. The word of God is for the mature. If you don't have a love affair with God's word, if you're not in his word every day, I'm here to tell you, you're not mature. Or at least you're not acting mature. There's not a day goes by that I don't eat. And from the looks of most of you, that I would be safe in guessing the same. You'll eat to sustain your body, but you will not eat to sustain your soul. And that's what God's word does. You are now a spiritual being. When you received Christ as your Savior, you became spiritual. That's what Jesus said when you need to be born from above. Because you were born spiritually dead. Now you're spiritually alive. That needs to grow. You know, it's a resurrection. What part of you is going to be resurrected? Is it that old sin nature? We all have our sin nature. We've been born with it. We know what it's like. We know what it makes us want to do. And we're fighting it all the time. Is that what's going to be resurrected? That's going to die at our death. It's that new thing that was born when we received Christ. And that's why you got to grow. That is what is growing. That's what's going to live forever. Feed it. The new spiritual you, feed it. That's what the whole point of the scriptures, the New Testament is especially. Feed that new you. That's the one that's going to rule and reign with Christ. That's why there'll be no more sinning, because you won't have the sin nature anymore. But right now, that sin nature is a drag, and it's just pulling on us. Don't feed it. Put on the new man. We're going to get into that in just a minute. He says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. The elementary teaching about the Christ. Yes, come to Jesus, trust in him, your Lord and Savior. If that's all the messages you're getting, you're not growing. If that's all you think about Jesus, yes, I've been born again, you're not growing. There's much more in this Word of God that you got to learn to help you to grow and mature. Become a strong believer in Christ, because it's that strongness that's going to be, well, I'll get to it in a minute. So, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. There it is again. How many times have I read that this morning? Let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. If all you ever hear is believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus, and you have already believed in Jesus, it's just preaching to the choir. You need more. What does believe in Jesus mean as you live your life? That's maturing. How does that affect how you walk on this planet, in this cosmos? So we need to read God's word, because it was written for us to learn. It was written for us to grow. And the end result is we need to reprogram our minds. In Romans 12:2, I'm saying themes that are throughout the whole New Testament. They're said over and over and over. It's just that you may not have heard them in this way before. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, this cosmos, this world system, this system that is controlled by Satan. The appeal, the lust of the eyes and the flesh and the pride of life. Don't be conformed to that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is. How do you renew your mind? You know the battle that you have, that you're fighting today as a believer? It's a mind battle. You're making choices all the time. That's your mind. That's your will. And that's what Paul and Peter and John and Jesus is saying. Grow up. Make the right choices. Act as a mature person. Paul has said before, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, and then I grew up and put the childish things away. And I'm afraid that a lot of Christians don't want to put the childish things away. They're too appealing. If that is the case, you are not a mature Christian. You may not even be saved. Because if you are growing in Christ, if you're a born-again believer and you're growing in Christ, the stuff will fall away. It may, some things may take a lot longer than others, but you're going to get better at it. It's always going to be a battle until we stand before Him. But until then, it's always ever renewing our mind. Another way of saying that is reprogramming. You can understand that a little better because you have computers. Computers are nothing more than machines that run code of ones and zeros. That's it. All those colors you see on the screen and all those things you see moving across the screen and all that, it's nothing but ones and zeros, and you got a processor that's interpreting those ones and zeros at an incredibly fast speed. 1000100100 is just one little byte. 10111101 is just another byte. And it's processing that so fast that it's ones and zeros. That computer is only doing what it's programmed to do. Now take your mind and program it with God's word. Reprogram it. It's already been programmed. You were born spiritually dead into this world. It already knows how to do evil and sin. You've got to reprogram your mind to start doing righteousness. And you're not going to do that apart from this. Apart from this, there is no reprogramming. You can't walk with Christ apart from this. You won't even know Christ. If I were to sit here and tell you that Jesus actually came to this planet in the Old Testament and walked with Israel and was there fighting, would you look at me as some kind of moron? Yeah, it's in the Old Testament. But you know why you haven't noticed it before? Because you're not reading His word. Who was it that Joshua came and saw the man with the sword? And he says, are you for us or against us? He says, oh, no, I'm the commander of the Lord's armies. And what did Joshua do? Fell flat on his face and said, what will you have me do? He was speaking to the pre-incarnate Christ. He hadn't taken out his body yet, but he's looking forward to it. Yes, Jesus reveled and was waiting for the day when he would take on a body and become one with mankind. He relished that thought. He relished his humanity. Of course, he was a man of sorrow because he was so misunderstood, but oh, he loved being human. And that's why he's such a great and faithful high priest, because as Paul says, he knows. He's already been tempted like we have. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to go without sleep. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Because I was there, and I know what it's like. Faithful high priest. But you won't know that until you get into His word. Christ is throughout the whole Old Testament. Well, you remember when Jehovah, or Yahweh, actually more accurately, was angry with his people? Remember when they made that stupid golden calf? And Moses ran back up on the mountain and says, oh, please forgive these people. They didn't know. Just forgive them. And you know what he said? He says, go, take them. I'll send my angel. He says it twice. One time he said, I'll send my personal angel. You know who the angel was that led the people from that point on into the promised land? The same one that appeared to Joshua. Jesus Christ, before his incarnation, the second member of the Trinity, was coming down here. Who was it that spoke to Abraham and says, we're getting ready, in the person of three, said, we're getting ready to go judge, take a look at Sodom and Gomorrah. We heard something here. And then it says two of them left, and then he was speaking with one that was there. Who was he speaking to? Well, look at what Abraham's saying. Oh, Lord, please, just this one time, if there were 45 there, would you save them? Yeah, I'm just going to, one more time, please don't be mad. What if there's only 30 there? Okay, I'll save it with that. Well, oh, Lord of all the earth, of what? He was speaking with the stranger that came to him, the pre-incarnate Christ. Who were the other two? The two angels that show up and get Lot out of there. Yeah, Jesus is throughout the Old Testament. You just don't know him yet. And if I'm telling you something new, you haven't been reading, and you're not reading right. And that is why we have this reading program, to get you to start reading so you can understand what it means to grow in Christ, to walk in this world. There's a church I play at all the time. And I really don't like playing there because I have to play like I'm going to have to go over there and play Irish music for them. And I just feel out of place playing Irish music for a bunch of people. But, you know, it's just it's not their church service. And I know the drummer is as unsaved as can be. And he's about as unspiritual and what's the word I'm looking for? He has no appreciation of reverence. So he's liable to say something really dumb, and I got to be careful, and I'll do all the talking and just keep him shut up. So, but one thing I like about that church is when we're done doing our thing, you know, they have a banquet, and we'll play for them, and then they'll close it, and we'll leave. And as we go off that property, right there's a big sign. You know what that sign says? You are now entering the mission field. The mission field isn't here, folks. In these four walls, it's not the mission field. This is the gathering of what? Believers. There might be an unbeliever too in here, but this is for us. This is for us to come together to carry out the two ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, to help one another grow, to comfort one another, to encourage one another. It's when we go out there is when we face the problems and the trials. And they have it right, that church. They have it right. Every time they drive off, that sign's right there. It says, you are now entering the mission field. And if you've learned something this morning, that was the purpose of meeting, growing in the Lord. You have to get into God's Word. If you're just reading Word, I know at first it just seems foreign to you, but you're a babe. You haven't done it yet. Start taking it all in, soaking it up. I've given you a book. Well, you've purchased a book that's going to help you immeasurably. I've told you to get a dictionary. If there's some words you don't understand, look them up. If you got an Alexa, it's much better. Pencil and paper. Certain things will stick out to you. Write them down. It's for later. And you know, look it. I practice what I preach. Back and front. These are all notes as I've been reading through the Bible this particular year. You want to see some of the subjects I've noticed? Let's see here. Angels, power and purpose. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 10. Mighty angels. 1 Timothy 5, 21, 3 through 16. Deuteronomy 32, 33, 2. His angels with him. It's all about the angels coming back with Christ. You know, we keep talking about us coming back with Christ. You know that the angels are the ones who's going to carry out the judgment. When Christ comes back, he's coming back with his angels. Do you remember the parable of the sheep and the goat? How'd those sheep and goats get there? Angels brought them there. Well, guess what you can do? Guess what?
Let me finish here. They have a heart for the Lord. They love the Lord. They've been in church, etc. And I never, ever, ever will I question their salvation just because they don't do what one perspective is. I will offer an alternative to actually reading. There are some audio Bibles out there that you can purchase. You can go through a whole book of Genesis in a day and a half and enjoy it because they're reading the word, KJV version, word for word, but you're sitting there and you're listening to it instead of trying to figure out and trying to decipher what's on that book.
Well, that's what I was going to say, John, okay, is that if you can't physically read because of your eyes, there are whole Bibles on cassette tapes, they're on all kinds of media, and you can play them and just listen to God's word. I know people that do that all the time. The point is, you've got to get into God's Word. However you do that. Now, for most people here, this is applies. For those of you who are maybe, like, you notice I have a very large print Bible. My vision's going. So I have a very large print Bible. I adjust to what I have to do, but I'm in God's Word. So if there are those of you here who are having a hard time, there are alternative ways of learning God's Word. Just like he said, you've got, I just ordered one right now. I've got the whole Bible. I just got it for $10 because it was on sale. You know, normally it's like $40. And I've got the whole Bible on a DVD, a couple DVDs. I can stick them in and listen to them. Of course, I won't because I bought it because I'm going to probably give it to somebody. And if anybody needs one, let me know and I'll give it to you. But yeah, point well taken. Yeah, okay, so I put that under entertainment. If you want to be entertained, do that. But for as far as God's Word, you've got to let the Spirit of God use His Word to talk to you. So if you have that kind of thing going on, that's more like for enjoyment and watching The Chosen or something. But as far as God's Word, you need God's Word unobstructed. My point that I'm making here this morning is not if you've got something keeping you from doing God's Word, is you've got to get into God's Word. It doesn't matter what your age is. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, it's still not too late. You might be 80 years, I don't know everybody's age here. You might be 80 this morning and have never read through the Bible. Start. Now, why? Why do I say that? First John Chapter 2, 28. That's a good way to end this up, and we're about ready to do that. 1 John 2, 28. You're either going to grow or you're not, but there are consequences. As a believer, you're going to stand before Christ. You know that. Not for salvation. You're going to stand for judged for your service. In 1 John 2, 28, that can't be 28. Maybe it's 23. Okay, 4:17. I got the wrong reference, but 4:17 says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the house." Oh, that's why it's not. I'm in 1 Peter. There we go. Man, I can't get out of Peter. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. That we may have confidence. You know that when Christ comes, you may not have confidence. It depends on how you live for him. There's another passage that I haven't written down. He says, so that when he appears, we won't shrink back. What was John meaning by we won't shrink back at his appearing? Because we weren't living for him. We were living kind of so-so Christian lives. And in his glory, that's going to be known right away. You won't lose your salvation, but you won't be proud. You remember when Paul says in a house there are different kinds of things? Gold, silver, precious metals. And then there's wood, hay, and stubble. And he says one day it's all going to be tested by fire. And it said the wood, hay, and stubble will be what? Burnt up, but saved yet so is by fire. Yep. You've got two kinds of things you're going to offer for Jesus. Service for him and service not for him. So how is it that you're going to be confident as appearing? Got to get in his word. You have to get into his word. There are no excuses. You've got the book that he will help you to understand what you're reading, but it's up to you individually. You have to make that commitment. You commit to your spouse every day. You talk with your spouse every day, unless you're fighting. And we all been there, right? And we eat every day. And we drink every day. and we go to work every day, why is it that we don't read his word every day? Because that's the only way you're going to know about him and what he wants for you. And the more you read it, the more you understand his will for your life. That's it. I hear so many things. I don't understand God's will for my life. Pray for me. I don't understand God's will for my life. He'll make it known to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Bless what has been said this morning through the power of the Spirit of God. Convict hearts. Encourage people to draw closer to you through the only way possible in this life, through your word that you have written and allowed to be preserved through all these centuries, that all may come to know you as Lord and Savior and learn how to live and walk for you, so that in that coming day we may rule and reign with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen.